Chapter 9. We Are the Champions. Bob Geldof was very happy with the success of Do They Know It's Christmas? But now he began to think about what more he could do for the people of Ethiopia. Then he had a very exciting idea to organise a huge outdoor concert called Live Aid and give all the money that people paid for tickets to help Ethiopia. So during the first few months of 1985, he contacted many of the top bands and singers in the UK and Ireland and asked them to play for free in the Live Aid concert. Queen were on tour in New Zealand, but Bob contacted their lawyer and manager, Jim Beach. He spoke to Freddie and the other band members, and they agreed to perform. Queen wanted to help the people of Ethiopia, but they also knew that Live Aid was very important for them as a band. They were not at the top of the charts anymore, and they had lost a lot of fans because many people were not happy about their concerts in South Africa. Also, there were many talented new bands and singers who were younger than Queen and who were becoming very popular. Queen knew that, at the Live Aid concert, the eyes of the world would be on them, and they wanted to do their best. They decided not to promote their new songs in the concert, but to play songs that the audience knew and loved. So they carefully planned which songs they were going to sing and chose 6 of their most famous hits. However, each band was only allowed 20 minutes to perform, so Queen had to make some of their songs shorter. They worked very hard for 3 days, rehearsing their songs. Bob Geldof organised Live Aid in only 10 weeks. It happened on the 13th of July 1985, continued for 16 hours, and was held in 2 countries at the same time, the UK and the USA. In the UK, the bands played at Wembley Football Stadium in London, and in the USA, they played at the John F. Kennedy Stadium in Philadelphia. The audience at Wembley was about 70,000 people, and in Philadelphia, it was about 100,000 people. The 2 concerts were joined by satellite TV, so people all over the world could watch the bands and singers performing live in both countries. After each band in the UK had finished playing, the stage was made ready for the next band. While this was happening, the audience in the UK could watch a band in the USA. At the same time, smaller concerts were held in other countries, including the Soviet Union, Canada, Japan, Germany, Australia, Austria, Holland, and Yugoslavia. These concerts were also joined to the Live Aid concert by satellite TV. The weather on the day of the show in the UK was warm and sunny. The concert began at noon with the first rock band, Status Quo, singing their hit Rockin' All Over the World. They were followed by many other famous bands. The audience were having a wonderful time in the afternoon sun, watching the bands and listening to the great music. Band followed band, until it was time for Queen to perform. But now there was a problem with Freddie's voice. A doctor was called, and the doctor told Freddie he was too ill to sing. But Freddie did not want to listen to the doctor's advice, because nothing was going to stop him from performing. Millions of people were waiting to hear Queen, not only in the audience at Wembley, but also all over the world. So, at 6:44 p.m, Freddie and the other members of Queen ran onto the stage. Freddie was wearing jeans and a white top and looked very healthy. Nobody guessed that there was anything wrong with him. As Queen got ready to play, the audience cheered loudly. When the band looked across the stadium, they saw thousands of happy and excited faces welcoming them. Freddie sat down at the piano and immediately began to play Bohemian Rhapsody. As soon as the audience heard this famous song, they cheered again and waved their arms from side to side. After some minutes, Queen continued with another of their big hits, Radio Gaga. Freddie jumped up from the piano and danced across the stage, while the audience sang with him and clapped their hands. Queen's third song was Hammer to Fall, and again, Freddie danced around the stage. Next, he took a guitar and started playing and singing Crazy Little Thing Called Love. The audience were having a really good time, clapping and singing. Finally, Queen played two more of their famous hits, We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions. Both of these songs were especially popular with live audiences. As Freddie sat down at the piano and sang We Are the Champions, thousands of people across the stadium sang with him and waved their arms. It was very important to Freddie to make his audience feel happy. His live performances were always amazing because he could form a great relationship with his audience and he knew how to control them. But this was the greatest performance of his life. Bob Geldof had hoped that the Live Aid concert would make £10 million in the UK, but it made more than £30 million. There were eight places across the UK where people could call to give money. Many famous bands and singers played at Live Aid that day, and there were some great performances. But for many people, Queen were the stars of the show. Later, Bob Geldof said in an interview, Queen were the best band of the day. They played the best, had the best sound. They understood the idea of Live Aid exactly. They played one hit after another. It was the best stage for Freddie, the whole world. On that day, Queen really were the champions of the world, and some people think their performance at Live Aid was the greatest rock performance ever. Freddie had invited a new friend, Jim Hutton, to the Live Aid concert. Freddie had first seen Jim in late 1983 in a gay club in South Kensington, and Freddie had liked him very much. He had wanted to buy Jim a drink, but Jim was with his boyfriend, so he said no. Later, his boyfriend told him the man was the famous rock star Freddie Mercury. But at that time, Jim did not know who Freddie Mercury was, and he had never heard of Queen. Although he liked listening to pop music on the radio at work, he did not know the names of the bands who played it. 4 or 5 months later, Jim and his boyfriend were having dinner in a restaurant in West London. Suddenly his boyfriend said, Oh, your friend is here. Jim turned round and saw Freddie, but Freddie did not see him. The next time that Jim and Freddie met was the night of Saturday, the 23rd of March 1984, at a club called Heaven near Charing Cross Station. Freddie was at the club with a crowd of friends. When he saw Jim, he again wanted to buy him a drink, and this time Jim agreed. Freddie invited Jim to join his friends, and everybody had fun, dancing till about 4 in the morning. Then they went back to Freddie's flat to continue the party. The next day, after everybody had left, Jim and Freddie talked. Jim told Freddie that he was a hairdresser, and Freddie just said, I'm a singer. After that, Jim did not see Freddie again for 3 months, and then Freddie called Jim and invited him to his flat for dinner. Freddie explained that he had not contacted Jim because he had been in Munich, where he lived most of the time. He had also been on a tour of Australia, New Zealand, and Japan with his band Queen. The next Friday, when Jim was at work, someone from the Queen office called him to say that Freddie was inviting him to Munich for the weekend. Jim was not rich, so he could not afford a plane ticket to Munich, but the man told him that Freddie would pay for everything. When Jim arrived in Munich, Freddie was waiting excitedly at the airport with some friends. Jim had a wonderful weekend, staying with Freddie in his flat and going out to the clubs with Freddie and his friends. During the next months, Jim went to Germany several times to see Freddie, and each time they became more important to each other. Although Freddie was still living in Munich, he was beginning to spend more time in London. Soon, Freddie introduced Jim to another important person in his life, Mary Austin. One Sunday after breakfast, Freddie invited Jim and Mary and several other friends to his flat in Kensington. "We're going for a walk," he told them. It was a beautiful sunny morning, and after about 20 minutes, they came to a gate in a long, high wall. Freddie opened the gate, and they entered a large and wonderful garden. It was the garden of Garden Lodge, the beautiful old house that Freddie had bought at the end of the 1970s. Freddie had wanted to make several changes to the house, which had cost a lot of money and taken a long time to finish. But now the builders had gone, and it was almost ready for Freddie to move into. Jim was very surprised by the beautiful house, and he especially loved the garden. Although Jim had known Freddie for several months, he had never seen him perform. On the day of the Live Aid concert, Saturday the 13th of July, Jim went round to Freddie's flat after work. Freddie and lots of his friends were there, watching the concert on TV, and Jim sat down to join them. He was still wearing his work clothes. At about 4 in the afternoon, Freddie turned to Jim and said, "Aren't you going to get ready? We're going to Live Aid." Freddie gave Jim some jeans and a top to wear instead of his work clothes. Soon, they were sitting in the back of a huge black car on their way to Wembley. When they arrived, Jim was very surprised because there were famous rock stars everywhere. When it was time for Queen to perform, Jim walked with Freddie to the stage and stood at the side while Queen played 6 of their most famous hits in front of a live audience of 70,000 people. As the audience sang happily and waved their arms, Jim realised that Freddie really was a great rock star, loved by millions of fans everywhere. Queen at Live Aid. Freddie on stage. Queen at Live Aid. Freddie with Jim backstage at Live Aid.